All right, take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 6, lesson number 17. If you need lesson 17, raise your hand. Brother Collins is there and ready to hand those out. Lesson 17, we are on the apocalyptic four horsemen and all part of section 4, which covers Revelation chapter 6 through 11, which is entitled The Awful Judgments of the Book. And again, it is lesson 17. Our memory verse, Revelation 6:2, and we'll go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference, and begin. Revelation 6:2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. And again, Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. Father, thank you again for the beautiful day. And Lord, for the privilege we have to be able to come to church this morning and study your word. And I pray you'll bless our time, make it profitable to us, and challenge our hearts, I pray. And certainly if there's anyone in this class or any class in our church that has never been saved, I pray they would know the wonderful, wonderful peace that comes with salvation today, and that they might leave here with Christ as their Savior, and help all of us to be a little different because of today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are studying the apocalyptic four horsemen, and spent a lot of time on the introduction to this, talking about Daniel's 70 weeks and dealing with, again, this period of 7 weeks that we call, or seven weeks we call the seven-year tribulation. I say 7 weeks, seven heptads, or seven periods, which, again, we're saying is years. And the seven-year tribulation time. And so as we come into these judgments and starting with Revelation 6, we really have to understand when all of this is taking place as far as prophecy is concerned. And the first thing that that takes place is what we call the apocalyptic four horsemen. And each one has a purpose. Each one kind of builds to the last one, which is kind of the result of the other three. And you know, just very, very clearly, this is some of the sorrow, some of the judgment, some of the trial, some of the reason why this period we refer to as tribulation. It is just a terrible, terrible time. And it starts off with Roman numeral 1, a deceitful diplomat, verses 1 and 2. And you'll notice in this, I don't remember if I mentioned this, in verse 1, one of the four beasts says, come and see. Well, we have all four of those beasts. If you remember those beasts, angelic beings that we talked about who knows how long ago. But each one is speaking. I've not found any correlation with the horsemen and the beast. I'm sure that there are authors that maybe have alluded to that, but I do want to mention, just simply make mention of that, just because the Bible does say that and talk about that. The first seal is open, the first beast speaks and says, come and see. And according to the order of the beast, this beast would be the lion-like beast. And that the lion-like beast announces then, you know, come and see. And so we see the Antichrist. We spent a lot of time talking about the deceitful diplomat, his description, his deceit. And then last week we ended with his diplomacy. Again, fancy words that are given. And there is a definite political theme, as I think, as we look at this. A very definite political theme of, you know, I can make peace and I'll make a treaty with these people, and he makes a treaty with the Jews. A seven-year treaty, by the way, which in the middle of all that, after 3.5 years, he does break that treaty. But so again, we have this Antichrist who is every bit anti-Christ.
Christ, totally the opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to Roman numeral 2 then, and we see a divisive destroyer, the second horseman. And the verses are verses 3 and 4. It says, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And so now we have the second beast, which is the calf or the ox like beast. And now this beast says, come and see. And now we have another horse, a totally different horse. And verse 4 says, there went out another horse that was red. And so the first horse is white, and which means to conquer or conquest. This horse is red. And the Bible says, power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And so I call him a divisive destroyer, a red horse with the color and I think emblem of war, bloodshed. This horse and this horseman, power is given to him. And by the way, the only one that can give power, obviously, is the Lord. Ultimately, God allows things to happen. We should never, ever miss out on the idea that God's ever, you know, God is taken off guard or something. God knows exactly what's going on all the time. God was not blindsided by the election this week. There was no race. There was no proposition. There was nothing that God didn't know all about and had it all totally under control, and still does. You know, people, are you concerned? And, you know, God is in control. God is still on the throne. As I mentioned, I think in our staff meeting on Wednesday, God wasn't up for election. Amen. God isn't going to be up for election either. Now, he is in the hearts of men, but as far as I'm concerned, God's still God no matter what happens. I don't, and we have to realize that. We have to trust him with that. But obviously, God's in control during the tribulation too. It's not something that, God is caught off guard. It is God's plan. God knows all about that. And so power is given then to take peace. It says power was given to him that sat thereon, this horseman on this red horse. Power is given to take peace from the earth. And so the only way you could take peace means that there was peace. Amen. And so the Antichrist has, with his machine and machinery, he has given a type of peace, I think, and I wrote down an uneasy peace. It is definitely an uneasy kind of a peace. Remember, three of the leaders, the three horns, were done away with somehow. And so, again, when you have those kinds of things going on and key leaders are all of a sudden either killed or disposed of one way or the other, you know, there is an uneasy kind of a peace. And again, I want to remind you, the Antichrist did not inherit his position. He obtained his position. And that's always going to bring an uneasiness to a people. And so there is peace. Again, there's been a treaty made with Israel, and a seven-year treaty. Everything, there is peace. But it is, I think, at the best, it is an uneasy peace. In fact, it's so temporary, I'm going to call it a counterfeit peace. Because obviously, there is the treaties, and I'm sure there will be many treaties. But remember, Matthew made it very clear there would be wars and rumors of wars. And so, you have this idea. It's almost like the children of Israel in Egypt. They had peace as slaves, if you can call that peace. In other words, well, we're not at war. Well, no, but you're slaves, and therefore, is that really peace? So I believe it will be like that in that day. And again, Antichrist promises peace, but only Christ can produce peace, okay? And understand, that's true in any area of our lives, okay? The world can promise peace, but only the Lord can produce peace. And again, I'm talking about real peace. And we need to understand that, because we're watching things even today where peace is promised on every side. And, you know, we'll give you peace. I again go back to the Israelites, the Jews in Egypt. And, you know, it was a pretty peaceful existence as slaves, if you can call it that. But again, it's not real peace. And you know, somebody can feel real good about, for example, government handouts, and say, you know, life is just really it's good. I've got my food stamps. I've got welfare, and welfare, and I've got Medicaid, and you know, I and now we get a free phone. And you can feel pretty good about that, and yet someday it's going to set in that, well, now, wait a minute, are we really free? Because there's strings that come with all those things. But again, I'm trying to avoid all that right now. But again, what really is peace? And you know, a person can take communion in a mass or something like that, and put that little wafer in their mouth, and they can be told, you know, some words in Latin that they don't have a clue what they mean, and they can feel pretty good about themselves. But deep down, they know. You know, deep down, do I really have peace because I did that? Person could be a Sunday school teacher for years and years and years and never trust Christ as Savior, and feel real good about teaching that Sunday school class and being a member of that church, but deep down, is there really peace? And I say all that because I've gone soul winning enough and knocked on enough doors. When you ask somebody, you know, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Oh, I took Mass today. And I took Mass, so I'm not interested. Get lost. You know, I've taught Sunday school for 30 some years, and I'm a member of such and such church, and, you know, get out of here. And I think, you know, that's not peace. That really is not peace. Peace is, if somebody asked me if I were to die today, do I know I'd go to heaven? I'd say, oh, glory to God. I know I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. And let me tell you about it. You know, I'm not ashamed. I'm not scared to talk about it. I'm going to hesitate. But again, that peace that only Christ can produce. Look at Isaiah 57, verse 20, and this backs up what we're talking about, Isaiah 57 and verse 20. There will be all kinds of mention of peace. There is a peace that comes with some of the drugs of today, right? I mean, there's that kind of a peace where you just don't care. I know before a surgical procedure, and I've been with lots and lots of people before surgery, and you watch them, you know, the anesthesiologist, it's always right after the anesthesiologist comes, and he tells you everything, has you open your mouth, make sure you can put that big hose down there and everything, and it's right after that, and then pretty soon you watch for the nurse, and she's got her little syringe, and she sticks it in the IV doohickeys thing, and you kind of watch, and I watch people, and I watch their eye, and it's like, you know, they're terrified, and then all of a sudden, they don't care. I've gotten a lot of sermon material during that time from, no, I'm just kidding. But it is amazing what people are willing to talk about during that time. But you know, there is that. Is that real peace? No. No, that's just a false peace, unless you just stay under that IV the rest of your life. It's hard to get anything done, believe me. But Isaiah 57, verse 20, it says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You know, the Antichrist is going to promise a peace to people who are going to die and go to hell, and whose hearts are opposite of the things of God, there's no peace. There will be no peace. These horsemen, you have to understand, I think it's ironic that God starts us with Antichrist, who is promoting peace, who is a destroyer. And it's ironic that people are going to, this is exactly what we need. There's so much unrest in the world, and this guy can unite us. Well, just follow these last three horsemen. Because I got news for you. It is totally going to be the opposite of any kind of peace you and I have ever thought about. Because God says very, very clearly, there is no peace to the wicked. It's not happening. So what is going to happen? Well, it says, power was given to him that sat thereon, again on this red horse, to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. Now, that's an interesting phrase there, kill one another. Again, we understand that's what happens in war, but I want to remind you that we are now in a period, this tribulation time is a period where the Holy Spirit in Christians is gone. There is no restraint now to hold back the flesh of man. Again, if you have any question of our flesh's potential, go to Galatians 5. You know, when our flesh is manifest, it is nasty. And that's all of us. That's, you know, the works of the flesh, you know, manifest is murder, adultery, wickedness, vile, hate, variance. I mean, all these things that are, there will be no restraint during the tribulation. Let's realize, you say, well, the laws, you know, the laws of our land restrain. Well, okay, but where did those laws come from? Let's be honest. You know, any moral law that is right, it came from God. You know, the fact that we don't kill each other, by the way, we do kill each other. We do. Well, we don't, I hope. But the fact that we, you know, the idea of not killing one another, that didn't come from man. I mean, come on, Adam and Eve, Cain, Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And it came pretty natural. I mean, who taught him? You know, we want to say, well, it's society. Well, Cain didn't see it on the internet. And Cain didn't see it on TV. And Cain didn't play it on a video game. Now, I'm not saying killing is okay. I'm just saying it was just natural. Why? Because the works of the flesh manifest. That's why. And during the tribulation, there will be so many works of the flesh manifest. And as I started writing these three points, I had made these kind of small, as you can tell from your outline, and yet it's just as you start to think about what is going to be happening. Let me jump ahead a little bit here. There's going to be hunger. Well, will people do anything to get food? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People will do anything when they're starving. There's going to be all of this death around. That means there's going to be disease. That means waters will be polluted. That means that food sources will be polluted. It is going to be utter chaos. And so how do we get food? Go back to your Old Testament. And they boiled somebody's baby. Oh, you say, people can't. Let me tell you something. When you're hungry, and you get hungry enough, you do amazing things. And when there's no restraint, we have this idea somehow the tribulation is going to be, that's going to be bad. No, it's going to be worse than anything that anybody can imagine. Now, I'm not even talking about the demonic creatures and things that go on that. That's later on. I'm talking about just man. Just man. Man left unchecked is nasty. It is unbelievable. You talk about just a slap in the face of humanism. By the way, that could be why they don't like our Bible. Could be why they don't like our preaching. Because it is the works, any of us. I'm talking about Don. I'm talking about Pastor Rogers. I mean, our flesh is capable of atrocities that we can't even imagine. Have you ever done something you said, I never thought I'd do that? Truth of the matter is, you always could have. And you always can. That's why none of us have any right to point at any human being and say, well, you know, look what they did. Because by the grace of God, that's me. You know, our guys and our ladies preach in jails and prisons, and they've got to have the idea that by the grace of God, I'm not on the other side of that cell. It's just the grace of God that I'm not there. Come on. You know, and we ought to admit that. We ought to be very quick to admit that. And so during the tribulation, that just there the result of no restraint is going to be chaos and lawlessness in the world. Now, I've preached before, and I still believe this, that the United States, I do not see the United States in the tribulation. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying I just don't see it as a power unless it is linked up with some of these other powers. And I think that is easily explained by the rapture taking place and it affecting the United States more so. And again, that's maybe giving us more credit than I should, but it affecting the United States more. And those initial days after the rapture takes place, it will be such chaos in America that we will be destroyed by nuclear. There's so many nuclear weapons aimed at us right now. It is unbelievable. Of course, we're going to be the good guys and we're going to get rid of all of ours. But anyway, I'm going to be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, eating T-bone steak and fried taters and onions and chocolate pie and green beans with bacon with real grease. Oh, grease. Praise God. So it is going to be chaos. Now again, you think about a nuked world. Because I can't even imagine there not being some nuclear weapons fired. When the rapture takes place, it's going to be wild. It's going to be unprecedented. I mean, we can't imagine it in our minds until we recognize, you know, what the scripture says. All social order will be gone. Again, the Antichrist, oh, you know, I've got this and I'm going to do that. Well, people are looking around and they're wanting to survive. And yes, he's going to look like he's a great guy. But by the way, if you protest him, you die. What do they call that? Do they call that martial law? Oh, anyway, we'll not get into all that. But I mean, why? Well, because this guy, he's going to save us. Okay. It will be neighbor versus neighbor. Okay, try to imagine. Chicago got nuked. Detroit got nuked. New York City got nuked. Washington, D.C. got nuked. And so here's Adrian. We're gone. Amen. Amen. We're gone. We went, nukes fell, you know, and we nuked a few too, because we still had two or three left. Because of peace, we've gotten rid of all of them, because we want everybody to love us and hug us and tell us how wonderful. Anyway, on Veterans Day, it has to make veterans absolutely sick. But anyway, that's not what I told myself. I'm not going to get on this stuff. But just try. Okay, so Adrian, Michigan, okay? People are looking around. They're thinking, okay, what happens when we hear there's going to be a snowstorm? A snowstorm, folks. That's all. A snowstorm. In Michigan, do we know how to deal with snow? Well, because of global warming, we haven't had to lately. But we know how to deal with it. But a snowstorm, what happens? What happens at the store? What happens, Don? They're empty. You can't even find bread. You can't find milk. You can't find, why? Because people, it's gonna snow and we've got to get ready, right? Try to think. The last broadcast they heard was that nukes were headed to Washington, D.C., New York City, Detroit, Chicago. Of course, I'm not sure why they would nuke Detroit. But, and people are gonna absolute, now what are we? We're gone. We're having, I can't even, Snickers bars on the way up. You know, I'm serious. I just started to even imagine. But it's going to be the panic. Your neighbors that are lost are going to get in your house. My neighbors that are, they won't find much, will they? My neighbors that are lost, they're going to get in my house. They're gonna raid this church. Yeah, I mean, these windows are gonna be busted out. Well, they wouldn't have to get here. They'd have to climb. They might as well break the ones downstairs like the one guy did. And they're gonna go through this thing. They're gonna go through the kitchen looking for foods for survival because they don't know what the future is gonna hold. It is gonna be crazy. And they're gonna break in the house of somebody they think might be gone, but the guy's standing there with his 12-gauge shotgun. Or mine that he got out of my house. You got to understand, folks, it's not going to be a very pretty picture. It's going to be bad. And neighbor will be against neighbor. And it'll all be unchecked as literally governments collapse. I'm just thinking about Adrian, Michigan. It will be unbelievable. I mean, how many policemen do you know that are saved? What happens to Adrian's police force when the rapture takes place? They're going to be concerned about their families. That's exactly right. Folks, it is going to be, you know, we've never known it. We've never understood it. But all you have to do, as soon as they predict this winter, this is a good test for you. Of course, again, you know, with global warming, we may not get any snow this year. You heard about the ice up north. It's melting. Anyway, it just makes me tired. It really does. It ought to make you sick. But, you know, first time there's a prediction, I'm going to say 4 to 6 inches. Go to Walmart. Watch the bread. Watch the milk. Water. You're exactly right. Yeah. It's going to be like, why are these people panicking? We deal with snow all the time. It'll be nothing compared to, okay, good example. Twin Towers went down. That's in New York City. People absolutely panicked. Okay, gas station. I waited 2 hours to get gasoline. We were getting gasoline because we were mowing grass. We that was my brother-in-law's business, and they raised the price. At that time, the price was just a puny little $2 or something a gallon. I don't remember how much it was then. They raised it up to $5 a gallon like that, and we're all begging to get gas. They say in New York, after the storm just hit, they say people waited up to 6, 7, 8 hours for gasoline. They say some pulled guns. Do you understand? When the rapture takes place, the chaos that follows, it's going to make that look like a picnic. Store. Most people won't wait until the store opens. They will just break into the store and take whatever. Isn't that what they did down in New Orleans? You say, well, those people, you know, that just, we expect that. No, that's humanity. Your stores, all the stores, Walmart, Meijer, Kmart, you know, they will be ransacked. Any place that has guns, I promise you, they will be raided. And they won't file their serial number with the authorities, because the authorities will be nowhere to be found either. It's going to be bad. Now, again, I think we're just at the beginning here with these four horsemen and this divisive destroyer. This one on the red horse is just a prelude to things that are coming. Because the Bible says this. It says there is a great sword. There was given unto him a great sword. What's that mean? That means great carnage and slaughter. People will they will organize into gangs for survival. Remember, three leaders are removed somehow by the Antichrist. That is nothing compared to what else is going on. Rebellion and carnage and slaughter will be taking place like mankind has never seen. At least Americans have never seen. It happens in other countries, but it will be right here. I think America will be brought to her knees during the tribulation or at the beginning of the tribulation to where it is not even has any kind of power during the tribulation. Ushers, if you'll come, let's go ahead and get an offering here. I've got just a few minutes left. In the midst of all of that, and again, let's try to imagine there will be. Does everyone on the East Coast have power now? So we're at over 2 weeks. I kind of lost track of all that. But so we have all this time. So there's going to be power outages that'll be not just the East Coast, not just the Southern Coast. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be unbelievable. But people are going to want answers. And again, I think that's how the Antichrist will rise. I think he'll give some answers. His answers will not be the answer, though. There is no way in this world. And people are going to definitely want answers. But remember this, and we have to, we have to keep this in the back of our mind. The truth is gone. Because rapture took us out. The truth will not be here. You say, I'm leaving behind some things. I'm going to leave behind. Oh, the whole church is full of things. You know, track rack will be there. And there may be some folks that grab that. You know, hey, I heard about this. But I also want to remind you that God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. And there will be lies. It'll be amazing. Where's the Rogers? They were pretty nice people. I wonder where they are, why they're not here, you know. By the way, there won't be a whole lot of pondering because they'll be in our house so quick, getting everything they can get out of there as soon as they realize no one's there. And they will do the same to yours. But it has to be in the back of their mind. They're going to want answers. The Antichrist will have an answer. Don't know what he'll say. Maybe he'll say, aliens abducted us. I don't know. Maybe we'll get blamed for everything. Kind of like the guy that made the video. You know, he got blamed for everything, right? And everybody always looks for somebody to blame. So while they're breaking into our homes and stealing everything out of our homes, which we aren't going to care about because we won't need those things. But while they're doing all, they justify it by saying, well, they were enemies of the state anyway, so we might as well take all their things. And while we're at it, let's just break all this stuff up. And I know you have wonderful possessions that you know you're worried about, but God will take care of all that with you. And Fifi, as far as what happens to Fifi, I don't know what to tell you on that, but there was a movie once called All Dogs Go to Heaven, and we don't know about the biblical truth of that, but we certainly know where the cats are. Anyway, I just, that's up to you. You can make your own summation of that. The hardest thing to imagine is the truth is gone. There will be no one behind the pulpit. Try to imagine somebody who, you know, is lost and they've always gone to church. And they're lost and they've come to this church. We have to believe there are lost people in our church. As I study my New Testament, and Jesus was so clear, you know, about the wheat and the weeds, the wheat and the tares. So clear there would be tares among the wheat and let them grow together. And in my mind, I envision that first Sunday after the rapture and there's going to be somebody show up. Of course, the doors will be open because people, the windows will be broken out. And I try to envision someone in this auditorium, maybe two, three, four people sitting out there waiting. Nobody's going to get behind this pulpit. And if they do, truth's gone. That's why if you're here and you're playing games and you're not saved, understand you get the truth now. And you can be saved. And you can believe the truth now. God sends a strong delusion that they may believe a lie. That's talking about those that had the opportunity that rejected it before the rapture took place. Remember this sword that is here. Anytime you see a sword, you think of carnage, of course, but you also think of division. I always think of dividing, and the sword divides. And and this world will be divided more than it ever has been divided before. Matthew 24, verse 7. I'll close with this. Matthew 24 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Just the beginning. Starving and stealing. And that leads us to Roman numeral 3 that we'll get to next week, a declarer of dearth. Starving. You know, most of us, you ever, and by the way, standing up here, now that this college and career class is right below me, it just doesn't seem right. It really doesn't, because they're having, like, it smells like French toast. In fact, I find myself while I teach our lesson guessing what they're eating today. And it does kind of smell like French toast. But have you ever, by the way, I had a good breakfast of Wheaties already this morning. But have you ever heard or said, "I'm starving"? And the truth is, you know, 4 hours ago you ate. You're really not. I don't know what the longest you've ever fasted. I have fasted a little over a week before. And the truth of the matter is, the first couple days, you're hungry. After that, issues do take place. Your craving is there, but in reality, you're kind of past what you would call. But I mean, things are happening. And you know, when people are really starving, It is hard to imagine. It is a hard way to die. And the truth is, many will die that way. We'll get into it next week as we talk about a declarer of dearth, verses 5 and 6. And it all ties together. War brings starvation. Nuclear, how many crops will be destroyed? What will the United States look like? And I promise you this, you be here for number 4, because the deliverer of death, I'm going to give you something to think about that you probably have never thought about in reference to dying during the tribulation. And it's just a very interesting thought. Father, thank you again for your many blessings to us. Lord, I've just mentioned the life and death of many in our world today. Many go through what I just described. And I pray we would think about them as we go through this passage and realize there are humans going through what we read about. They go through it day after day, week after week. That's their country, that's their life. May we again be thankful for our country and our life. And Lord, as we look at the flags that are standing here today, let us be reminded that somebody paid a price so we could have the country that we have. And may we be thankful. Bless this morning's service. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name.